All right. We're joined in the studio today with Soundscape Sirens, MXDX Dicey, Marissa Holder, Talma, aka Hannah Berry, and Vanessa Tottle, who are all sitting in front of me. All three of them are here today. How lucky are we? They are touring Aotearoa with a tour that promises deeper sonic storytelling and invites attendees to heed the siren's call and step into the dark. Their debut show last year was described by BFM reviewer Evelyn Jones as ethereal ambient soundscapes with haunting reverb-drenched vocals, a little bit of everything, and likened to a rave in a haunted church with R&B and dark wave inflections. All right, guys, tell me, does that capture the vibe?
Yeah.
No, I think it's perfect.
Yeah, Evelyn did such a great job. We're forever grateful.
Could you describe your respective sounds for me? Introduce yourself, and can you capture your vibe in a sentence?
Yeah, sure. So I'll kick things off. My name's Hannah Berry, aka Talma, and that first bit of blurb you read out, I think that actually was the section about my bit in the show. So yeah, I'll be the haunted church rave girly. There is a common thread with all of our sound, as we are self-producing electronic based artists with vocals, but all with our own completely unique musical background, influences and standpoints. So for me, self-producing, very synth-based, lots of kind of chilly metallic synth sounds. I like to think about my tracks as just as much as them being compositions as opposed to just trying to make straight up bangers, sort of thing. I also play synth alongside, so I have a Casio and that's run through a couple of pedals. So yeah, it's kind of a hybrid mixture of instrumental, my vocals, and yeah, a bit of live synth as well. So yeah, couple of different pots simmering on the element. Yeah.
Love that. What about you, Vanessa?
So I am a trip hop artist, and so produce my own music as well, and a lot of bass. If you can't feel it in your chest, then it's no point.
You don't think you're having a medical incident.
Absolutely, yeah. Not if you're not reaching for the defib, then why even, what's the point? So it's kind of, trip hop is grand because it lets you spill into different areas and feel quite safe to explore. So some of my instrumental tracks that I produce is they go into kind of a house space, but predominantly trying to stick to the trip hop, and then my vocal tracks as well. So yeah, a mixed set, and yeah, the sets have grown since July, so yeah, a bigger show.
Ooh. And Marissa, tell us about your music.
Yes, so I'm Mixed Dicey, and my music is sort of like synth pop R&B, but with like a bit of an edge. So every song has got something a little bit different in it. So one song will have like Trinidadian steel pan, the other one will have like breakbeat or some like soca vibes. So I think the core of it is always like synth R&B, but yeah, with something with a twist with every song.
And what's the origin of Soundscape Sirens? Where did this come from?
Well, in 2024, I thought I want to do something fun, and I wanted to have or create a sisterhood, a collective, and my lucky number's three. So I knew it had to be three, but I didn't know who. And through the Women About Sound collective, I had basically found these guys and fallen in love with them and followed them, and then we started to work together on different things.
When was that?
So for Talma, we played together for the first time last year, I think.
It's actually a funny coincidence. Maybe we both kind of psychically transmitted similar ideas at the same time, because I'd seen and heard your music around. I went to your album release show last year, and we happened to be put on the same bill at UFO, which is a really awesome independent DIY venue in New Lynn. Definitely really recommend supporting them and going to their shows. So we're put on the same bill for one of their shows there, and we just got talking, and yeah, it progressed from there, really.
Yeah, And then, yeah, with Marissa, I'd met her at my Auckland, or one of the shows that we put on at Deadwitch. We're plugging all the venues here, but...
That's good, yeah, we love venues.
Yeah. Deadwitch, who is an amazing venue, supports artists, independent especially. Mm. And, yeah, Marissa came to that show and I said, well, I'm releasing an album, I'm going on a bit of a tour, so do you want to come? And yeah,
and
so
this was just after seeing Vanessa do her thing and being completely floored by it. So yeah, I was like, oh my god, yes. And I hadn't actually finished a song at that point, but I was like, well, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. So then we just started to talk, and July was gonna be the one and only show, but it was going to be like the pilot.
Yeah.
We thought, okay, if this concept takes off, should we do a tour? And then it was kind of like, actually, yeah, let's.
Yeah. So
then we did it, and it had such great success. And of course,
yeah. How was the response to the
Really, really good. And you know, it was a small venue.
Middle of winter as well.
Yeah, middle of winter. And it was Cupid Bar, another great venue out in Point Chev in Auckland, and they were really awesome support for us. And you know, we thought, okay, if it's good, then we'll do a tour. And obviously, we'd love to do heaps of shows, but we're self-funding it, we've got to be realistic.
When did you decide to do a tour? When?
I think it was like the night after the gig.
That was great.
Well, it's funny because in the lead up to the pilot show, like I'm definitely guilty, for lack of a better word of this, being like, oh yeah, let's do Christchurch, haha, and neck minute. It's like, don't test me.
And so you've done one date already.
Yes. Been, Smash Palace, and that was,
how did that go?
Was great.
That was
so fun.
The crowd was great.
They have a cat. More venues need cats.
And then of course with our 95 BFM review, the reason why we wanted to come in today and give you guys an update on it was because Evelyn saw it from its conception, and now it's grown into this thing.
Yeah, and three-headed monster.
Yeah, so
three-headed siren.
To, like,
yeah.
You know, pay a thank you to 95BFM and Evelyn for seeing it. And one of her recommendations in the review was that she would like to see it at Whammy.
Yeah.
Which is where we're playing.
Yes, you are. Saturday night.
Yes. So tickets are online.
And because Soundscape Sirens is very much a live thing. Is that right? Like, it's you should have had to be there.
Yeah. And it's like we've got great opening acts as well. And it's definitely an immersive, no phones type thing experience. Because every little bit of all the sounds come out, and if you're not fully paying attention,
is there like no phone signs, or is it just encouraged?
I just kind of thought that now, that really if I was in the audience, I would want a no phone, because I mean, even when I've watched these guys and I've seen them a lot, I still am mesmerized by them. So I would kind of encourage people to come along, and you know, we know that the world is crazy right now. And you know, seeing live music can really calm your soul.
Yeah, and the kind of sort of concept of Soundscape Sirens, it is escapist, and it is, you know, the name alone kind of suggests you're going to be sort of lured somewhere else or taken to another plane. Why did you decide on the word sirens?
I don't know, I think it was
heeding
just
the siren's call.
In
Homer's Odyssey, it was traditionally, as Alex's copywriting said, was traditionally three sirens, so that's us. Three's your lucky number.
Yeah, and then we
and they'd
just
lure people to the rocks and lure, you know, sailors to their death. But I think
or just a really good time.
I think sirens are quite misunderstood, because you know, like, I mean, that's not their fault. They crash ships trying to get close to them.
Yeah, and we'll show them a good time first.
Well, exactly. And if I'm going to go, down into the depths anywhere with some good music is a good way to do it. Mm. Okay, so you guys are very much self-funded, self-managed, self-producing. What does that look like in practice? How do you make that work? And is it liberating or is it challenging or is it a bit of both?
Yeah, well, we kind of had this thing when we were driving to Gisborne that we should have called the tour the Broken Happy Tour because it kind of just summed up where we are.
Yeah.
But I guess, the risk with anything in life, the risk of not doing it is greater than doing it. It's just... We have to do it, you don't know how long you're on this earth for and you need to live every moment, and if I'm living my moments with people that I'm sitting with right now, then yeah.
Well, can you talk us through your musical backgrounds respectively? How did you get into music? Have you always done this kind of genre or has it evolved? Do you want to go first, Hannah?
Yeah, sure. So I came from a super musical family, so both my parents were musicians, stepdad and everything across many different ways. My mum's, a really amazing singer, so she's actually always been in the covers world, so it's kind of, we both think it's funny and interesting that I've kind of started on the original music bus as opposed to, doing covers first, kind of gone about it in a bit of an opposite way. I feel really, really grateful now just growing up in a household where it's like, oh, yeah, music, it's literally part of life. It's literally what you do. And it's just, it's not a nice to have, basically, music and being able to engage with it in any way. Did the piano lessons thing as a child, did some classical exams. And started making music on my own in the background, like in my early 20s, but didn't really do much with it. But then was in a couple of different bands and played some live shows. And then when they kind of wrapped up and imploded on their own, I decided to just really just be like, oh, actually, I've learned enough from, playing with other people. I know how to do all of this by myself. I know how to put on a show. I know how to put together a track. Yeah. Oh, I could do that. And so since then it's just been a series of, oh, I can do that sort of moments, and here we are. Yeah.
And when did you get into the sort of electronic soundscapey stuff?
Oh, it definitely comes from everything that I've always been drawn to, listening to, like even, like as a teenager and even as a child. A big part of my listening diet as a teenager was super industrial stuff like Skinny Puppy, Nine Inch Nails. My uncle gave me a Depeche Mode Best Of CD when I was like 12, and so that had like a really big impression of me. Yeah, very formative. But even like as a child, I remember I used to actually listen to if anyone remembers The Deep Forest, I used to like play that like to sleep when I was little.
Same.
Obviously like within 90s childhood, say. So it's in my blood, obviously. So I think that's kind of a big influence for me. Just the kind of chillier, soundscapey, electronic, but could be organic sounding sounds. So
do you like Enya?
My mum actually listened to Enya when she was pregnant with me in her belly.
Well,
so
there we go.
There we go. That answers for a lot. And my family's also Irish, so I think, it's inevitable as well. Yeah.
All right, Vanessa, over to you. What's your musical background? How do you get into what you do? And then tell us about some of your influences.
Yeah, well, I didn't really start on my musical journey till I was level 45. I've gone up a few levels since then, but not too much. But it's something that I should have been doing my whole life, but life got in the way, and self-doubt.
Do you wish you came to it earlier, or do you think coming to it later gave you a different perspective and kind of confidence?
I always think that, I wish I would have started in my 30s or my 20s, but I guess I wouldn't have had so much trauma to work with.
A creative well.
Yeah, so,
the juice.
If we look, glass half full, I probably, have a pot full of things that I can draw on.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, the universe makes you go into directions just when you're meant to. So
yeah.
I guess the universe knew that level 45 is it. And yeah. And
when did you get into trip hop?
Well, I think I've always had that influence in my mind, but I've never known it as trip hop. You know, through the years, obviously, people have sort of gone away from describing the trip hop sound as trip hop and, you know, broken it down more. So when I started to produce my music and I went to my sound engineer, Ben, he was listening to my stuff and he was like, "You're not pop or anything. Did you know that you're trip hop?" And I'm like, "What is that?"
Oh.
And so I researched it and I was 100% trip hop. And I loved that because it wasn't like I just heard it and thought, "Oh yeah, I'm like that. I'll do that one." I sort of just naturally fell into it, and yeah, I love it. And you know, I've met so many artists internationally and in New Zealand that have you know, trip hop sounds, and so yeah, I've been able to connect with people. And because trip hop's kind of, you know, blends into different genres, I've been able to be on different bills with people. And of course, that's what makes Soundscape Sirens so good, because, you know, I can play with other musicians that are like-minded and have that same sort of similar sound.
So
I haven't really you know, I haven't been studying it for years or anything. I just go on what my ears tell me.
So you're largely self-taught?
And Women About Sound.
Yep.
They were a huge influence. So yeah, I started March 23 with them, and you know, I've still got masses to learn. It's ever evolving, but yeah, just absolutely loving it. So.
And who are your musical influences? What have you loved over your life or been formative for your sound and taste?
Well, yeah, I think that I don't think an artist, you know, 100% has influenced my sound, but I think probably my professional progress in my brand as an artist would definitely have to be Lady Gaga. So I just have drawn from, you know, her strength and resilience in the industry, and yeah, so she's probably my number one. But also, yeah, I draw my resilience from my daughter Faith. That's probably my two. And my husband, he's okay too. I draw a lot from my daughter Faith, and I'm doing this to show her that you know, you need to follow your dreams. And my message to her is to follow her dreams hell of a lot sooner than what I did. And she's doing that.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Marissa, what's your musical journey?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm British, so I grew up in Essex. Station called Capital FM. And they would play, you know, like Robbie Williams, Kylie Minogue,
that
sort of thing. But then there was another R&B station that would play like John Legend and that sort of thing. So I guess my music taste was pretty basic until I moved to New Zealand, when I went to Tauranga Girls College. And shout out Chelsea Prestidi in the band Skeela, and I know that her band is always on BFM. We met in high school and she introduced me to like Perfect Circle, Tool, that sort of thing, and really just expanded my mind. And then I did musical theatre as a degree in Christchurch.
Yeah.
So random. Probably shouldn't have done that, but oh well. you can't go back in time. Yeah. But there I met a bunch of stoner dudes, one of which is my current partner today, Alex, who writes our copy and is awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, got introduced to Elliot Smith, and I got a massive tattoo, like a huge, like takes up like half my back.
Whoa.
So and so I guess Elliot introduced me to like those crazy chord progressions.
Yeah.
So one of my songs is Moon, and I think there's like 8 chords in the verse and 13 in the chorus or something, and trying to make that synthy has been interesting. But for Mixed Icy, so I guess I was part of this hard rock band called Living State for about 4 years, and we went on tour as well and recorded at Roundhead, that sort of thing. But I really wanted to do my own thing. So growing up, I went to the Outback and Bar 101 in Hamilton when I was 21. So I'm 36. I'm going to be 36 this month. So I'm pretty, like, I'm getting there.
Yeah, but you've seen enough.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen enough. But no, like, back in the day, the dance music was really, really good. Like, yeah. I really liked Ministry of Sound. And I think now getting into, like, Pink Panthers, and I love Charlie XCX. I saw The Moment the other day, which was really, really good. Yeah, I guess that just really influenced me to do something a bit happier, because with the rock band I was singing a lot about just people that pissed me off. Like, that was my main topic.
Yeah.
And like, when I kind of grew up a bit and just discovered, hey, I don't actually enjoy being all like full of this hate, like, night after night, I'm gonna do something happier and poppier and kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So my music taste kind of shifted, and then I started producing. Because I met my cousin in England, Ryan, and he showed me Ableton, and he has like this massive synth in his bedroom, and he was showing me how it worked. And he said, but you can just do this in Ableton.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay. So he just showed me the basics, and then went to Women About Sound, which I encourage everyone to like on Instagram, follow, check out, join their production seminars. Like, more women need to be producing.
Yeah. For people who aren't familiar, could you explain Women About Sound a bit?
Yes, it's Jess Howe. Is that her name? Yeah, Jess Howe. So she started Women About Sound. So basically, she runs these workshops and seminars and just introduced, like, from the real basics, like, how does a microphone work? You know, what do you need to press to arm it to record? Like, how do you plug in a synth? That sort of thing. And so from scratch, she'll show you how to build a song. And it was like mind-blowing to me. I'm like, okay, I can do this. This is, it's possible. And like, now we're all away, you know? So it's great.
Yeah, and they do songwriting ones as well, and have different mentors come in, and yeah.
Millie was one of them, and that was really nice. Just like, she heard that song Moon that I was talking about, and she was like, no, I can't give any feedback. It's a great song.
Millie's amazing. Is it, as artists, is it helpful to sort of have this kind of creative community and support network around, with people trying to, you know, share knowledge? And all three of you are nodding at me.
Especially if you're a solo artist, like, it's really awesome. I mean, having experience working with other people, it's really awesome to be able to move as quickly and as slowly as you want and need to, and to not have to take like songs to committee, let's say, less red tape. But yeah, it can be a little bit lonely. You can have moments where you're kind of like, oh yeah, I'm not feeling this song. And it's just any sort of community. Like, nobody truly does anything alone. Even if you do what you do alone, like, that's never actually fully the case when you actually look at who's around you, who's supporting you, who's saying, oh, that bit's good, you should loop that bit. Even those little moments. It takes a village, as they say. Yeah.
Even like experiencing it, like listening to something at home in your, you know, headphones, even if it's the same, you know, track, it's so different to seeing it live and the full experience.
Yeah, totally.
Very much what, the Sirens is about, is that full immersive thing.
It's definitely, we want everyone to come.
Yes.
What do you hope people feel after your show?
Tired, because they've danced so hard.
Yes, that's the best answer, I reckon.
Probably just... maybe a little bit less mad in their heads, because it's so crazy right now. I know, you know, with me in my day job right now, it's pretty nuts. And so I'm looking forward to Saturday show.
And it is, like, music, it serves a lot of different functions to different people, but sometimes it's okay and it's cool when it's like escapism and fun, you know, like, just a break from the mundane day to day, like, it's kind of closest thing to have to magic, in my humble opinion.
Like the whole Sirens theme, it's definitely pulling the listener into our individual worlds for a little bit. So you can escape and then come out and be like, oh, wow, that was interesting.
Yeah, amazing, captivating. Well, Soundscape Sirens on tour now, playing Whammy Bar on March 14th, supported by Slotopia, Christchurch's Dark Room on March 21st with Play for Keeps, and Hamilton's Last Place 28th of March with Kyla Greening. Tickets are from Under the Radar. And if people can't get to the shows, is there any other way they can support or hear your music, or they just have to, you have to be there?
Yeah, you've got to be there.
Got to be there.
But, you know, if you definitely can't, then, yeah, Spotify and all streaming platforms.
Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And we do have a show in May the 17th, isn't it?
At, 16th.
Yes.
16th. May the 16th, sorry.
For New Zealand Music Month.
Oh, lovely. All right, make a note of that. I'll link stuff in the show notes. All right, well, that was Marissa, Hannah, and Vanessa from Soundscape Sirens. Thank you, guys.
Thank you
so much.